This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
While we all desperately ached for escapism, Bridgerton, the Shondaland smash on Netflix, came streaming along. Now we wait for season two. But in the meantime, you can hear how this show came to life with the cast, the production team, and the creators of Bridgerton. Listen to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your favorite shows.
Does your inner monologue ever sound like, ugh, I'm never going to be good enough, or thin enough, or I'm too old to start something new? I'm Jess Wiener, cultural expert and the host of Dominant Stories.
Those are all lies designed by culture and negative forces to keep you small.
Listen to Dominant Stories with me, Jess Wiener, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Allie Wentworth, host of Go Ask Allie. My listeners want more, so we are digging in. Comedian Amy Schumer.
As far as cancel culture goes, I think that the people who are the most afraid and complaining about cancel culture are the ones who are in danger of being canceled, and they need to take a look at themselves.
I agree with you.
You know, I'm not worried about it because I know my intentions and I know that I'm like open to evolving.
Listen to Go Ask Allie every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
So I have him sitting in the cart and I realize I forgot something, but of course my cart had a million things in it. Maddie's sitting in it. So I run two aisles down and I come back and I guess per mom brain discussion, I forgot what aisle Maddie was in. And this woman looks at me with the most withering stare and just points.
Oh,
where
I hate it.
Maddie's cart is.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Katie's Crib. Today, we are talking about two words that I use all the time. Mom brain. I use it as an excuse. I use it as a definition. I use it as an adjective. Mom braining is a verb. And here to talk about it is Dr. Elise Dobrow DeMarco. She's a clinical psychologist. She has her own private practice in Summit, New Jersey. She specializes in helping women use cognitive behavioral therapy and related evidence-based strategies to navigate the challenges of motherhood. She's written in so many things like Motherly, Motherwell, Pop Sugar Mom, Psychology Today, Scary Mommy, The Week, Today Parenting, and her own blog, www.drcbtmom.com. Dr. DeMarco is the author of the book we talk so much about today called Mom Brain. It's a guide that includes science-based strategies to help moms cope with common challenges and make peace with their transformed identity. She lives in New Jersey with her husband and her two sons, Maddie and Sam. Thank you so much for coming on Katie's Crib, Dr. DeMarco.
It's so nice to talk to you, Katie.
Oh my God, you're so excellent. The book is so wonderful. I'm so appreciative of you coming on. Is Mom Brain a real thing?
Yes.
Yay! Hurrah! End of episode. That's all I needed to hear.
That's all we needed. Yes, it is. But like not in the way pop culture teaches us it is. As a mom too, I always had heard there's this thing called mom brain where like you have kids and then you like forget where your shoes are and lose your cell phone. And I think in pop culture, it's a negative thing, right? It's like you have kids and you like lose your mind.
Right.
But what's really interesting is there's a lot of emerging science on mom brain. there's emerging research now on what happens in your brain when you become a mom. And what it shows is mom brain is actually far from a detriment. It's actually adaptive. There are structural and functional changes that happen in our brain that basically push our kids to top of mind, which is great from a caregiving perspective in that, yes, you want your kids top of mind, right? All the time.
But what it does is it makes everything go
It pushes down other things down the list. Right, exactly. So like remembering people's birthdays, maybe where your cell phone is. Sure. But it's actually a good thing. And there's the research on it that's coming out is fascinating. It's not just moms who've come by their kids other ways, other than giving birth. Dads, they have brain changes as well. It's really fascinating stuff.
Let's not tell my husband that so that he can't use it as an excuse. But you're right. We do culturally use mom brain as this sort of, oops, I'm a failure. I can't remember where I was in the middle of my sentence. But what you're saying and what we learn in your book is that really things are actually scientifically happening in your brain that make your child come first. Everything else just gets pushed down. Plus, tell me about lack of sleep. I mean, that has got to be part of the mom brain situation.
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of things that are contributing, right? So it's not only brain changes, but yes, it's also lack of sleep, which is profound in the beginning, as you know. Remember, too, that like when you become a mom, you're so unmoored, particularly in the beginning. Like I remember when I had like my first son and it was
how
like,
old are they now? Excuse me interrupting you, but how old?
They're 7 and 10 now. Maddie and Sam, okay. Two boys.
Okay.
They are loads of fun. When I had Maddie, my older one, I remember feeling like, forget about what day it is. I don't feel like I'm in my life anymore. I feel like I've stepped out of the functioning world and I'm now in this weird quasi reality where like I'm up in the middle of the night and I'm sleeping in the middle of the day.
You're so lost. You're so lost. You guys, Mom Brain is a wonderful book and it's structured so well for us moms who have Mom Brain because it is structured in sections. You don't have to read the whole book in one sitting. You have the ability to really pick and choose which chapters are affecting you at certain times.
Thank you for pointing out, Katie, the way the book is structured. I did that very deliberately because I was like, moms can't read. It's not like they have a million, you know, but they can dip in and out to different sections and get one or two skills that they can start using right now to help themselves.
Yep.
And that's why I wrote it. Cause I was like, yes, I think every mom needs CBT, but no, I don't think every mom is going to get it. And so this was my way of, you know, I had started off writing shorter pieces for like those publications you mentioned. Right. And then I was like, there's a lot that CBT has to offer.
You wrote in the Washington Post about this feeling of loss, that loss and lost that I feel currently. You said there's so much grief involved. Motherhood is joyful, yes, but it also entails so much grieving. When we first become mothers, we grieve for the loss of our child-free, independent person we once were. When we send our kids out into the world, whether for their first day of kindergarten or their first day of college. Holy shit. Well, that's what I feel right now. I'm missing my 20s. I didn't have the worries that I have now. I'm already seeing the grief of I'm spending all this time and energy and care and love just to get my heart broken because if I do a good job, they will leave me. Right? It's like, why did I sign up for this shit?
No, you're totally right. And the grief really changes what I'm going through right now.
Yes, you're ahead of me. Talk to me, Goose.
I'm ahead of you. Listen. This is my own personal experience. I can't put my psychologist hat on when it's about my kids, right? But you know, with my older son, so he's in fifth grade and this year's been fine, but last year with COVID was hard, right? They were only in school half day. It was very disruptive. I mean, for everybody, of course.
Yes, yes.
And last year was the first time where, you know, it was difficult for him. And I was like, gosh, I can't solve his problems anymore. When he was younger.
You could fix it.
You could fix it, right? And so, like, that's the stage of grief I'm in now.
Oof, his life is his own. You can't, yeah.
And it's like, gonna get worse. Like, because my sister has teenagers, and I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna get worse. That article to post, I meant what I said about grief being a staple of the maternal experience. And one of the things that I thought about a lot when I was writing Mom Brain was like, you know, moms need to not feel bad when they have kids and are in mourning for certain things. I mean, like you, Katie, having a baby during a pandemic, that's a whole other layer of mourning. Not only are you like mourning your child-free self, you're mourning the babyhood that you wanted your kid to have. I've talked to so many patients about this where they're like, I couldn't introduce my baby to their grandparents. I couldn't join the mommy and me classes I wanted. There's been so much mourning around that too.
Oh yeah. And the women listening to this podcast really grieving the like, I couldn't do that prenatal yoga class. I couldn't do the mommy and me. And I had one child pre-COVID, one child during COVID. So I do miss the village that I had with my son. I signed up for weekend play dates with wine. That's how I wanted to parent. And I don't get to do that. The play dates are few and far between. And so I find myself alone. And it sucks.
It
not having a good time.
It's so hard.
From your book, can you just give us a few examples of CBT strategies?
I'm going to give you some very general ones that I kind of start out with. And then we can get into specifics of some other stuff. But here's some general ones. One thing that I recommend a lot to basically everybody is doing mood check-ins a couple of times a day. This is a very CBT thing. We're very into monitoring our moods. We're very into all of that. But I tell patients, you know, set a timer to go off once every couple of hours, mm-hmm. or time it with meals. That's an easy thing to remember, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, where you're taking a moment and just asking yourself, how am I doing? How am I feeling? This sounds simple. It is not simple.
No mom is doing that. Because I just asked myself in my head that, and I was like, oh, wow, I haven't asked myself that in years.
Totally. So for just that reason, it's really important that we prioritize ourselves as we're prioritizing our kids. But I think what happens with a lot of moms is we are so in it, particularly in the beginning, like right where you are now, Katie, when you have really little ones, you're so in it all the time that you are just not registering how you're feeling. And what I was hearing about all the time before I wrote the book and still do is, oh my God, I got to the end of the night and I melted down. I had this day of stressors with my kids and it was building and building and building. And I got to the end of the night and I got these kids in bed and I lost my mind. What I realized is that, like, you know, part of the problem there is that you're not realizing earlier in the day, I am not doing great. What can I do now in this moment to help myself? So everything is building and building and then it explodes. Or some moms I work with say that happens in the morning where like they'll go to bed so stressed out and then they wake up and there's like a clenching feeling in the pit of their stomach, right? Ooh. We've all been there, like, right? We've all been there. And so make sure you are checking your emotional blood pressure, so to speak, every couple of hours. And if you notice you're having trouble, stop and say, what do I need? Do I need to call the neighbor? Do I need to take a walk? Do I need to just throw my baby in the stroller and just take a walk because we both need a change of scenery?
That's the huge one. So helpful.
Huge.
That's all I say. I'm like, get outside. We're all going outside. Family walk. We're going outside.
I'm so with you. And by the way, my patients hate me because they're like, but it's freezing, which it is here, by the way, in the Northeast. But I'm like, you know what? It is change of scene is life changing for the mom meltdowns and the baby meltdowns. And by the way, I think this is true of older kids too. Like, we'll still do that with my son. Mm. If one of them is really having a hard time, I'll be like, dude, we're going to get in the car. We're just going to drive somewhere. What I say to moms too, and that this is another
skill and
theme. Yeah, is I'm very big into mindfulness and I'm very into really trying to be kind and compassionate towards yourself when you're having a hard time. Mindfulness and self-compassion is so critical because we have a lot of emotions as parents that are not positive, right? We talked about the grief already. There's anxiety, there's frustration, there's resentment of partner, friends.
There's pressure, there's overwhelm.
Yes, there's envy, there's so much. One of the things I thought about when I was writing the book is like, I have so many moms who come to me and are so ashamed of the negative emotions they feel, which is so unfair. It's bad enough you're feeling these bad feelings, right? If on top of that, you're feeling guilty about feeling this way, adding insult to injury, it's like making it a million times worse, right?
Yeah. Tell me one example of a mindfulness exercise in the book.
So one of my all-time favorites is the leaves on a stream exercise, which is by no means mine, right? It's a classic mindfulness exercise. You could use leaves on a stream. You could use boxes on a conveyor belt, clouds in the sky, like whatever image floats your boat. But basically the idea is you want to just take a moment and see yourself writing the thoughts and feelings that come in on a leaf and sending it sort of down a mental stream and not pushing it down the stream. Like I always caution moms about this because you're not trying to push your emotions away. In fact, the opposite is true. What you're trying to do is just be an observer and describer of your feelings. without judging your feelings, without feeling like you have to fix them right away or change them. You're just letting them be. Any of the mindfulness apps have exercises like this, like Calm or Headspace. But it's what I always say is like, you'll become good enough at it that you can just sort of leave on a stream yourself. You don't need to fix or change, but just give yourself like a minute to see those leaves on a stream and let them do what they're going to do. But once again, if you're an observer and a describer of what's going on in your head, you're not judging what's going on in your head.
Right.
Hey, I'm Gabrielle Collins, period drama nerd, and your behind-the-scenes guide to Bridgerton. On Bridgerton, the official podcast, we're learning how this fantasy world dipped in history came to life.
Daphne, her costume design really is about the elegance of simplicity. It's just color and shape.
We went old school and we got two scenic artists in who painted the backings for us by hand.
These dukes are all like in their late 20s, early 30s. Almost all of them are unmarried, really good looking, and none of them have syphilis.
Can you imagine when he looks into your eyes and then he dips you?
We just heard this sort of ripping sound. Yep, I think there's just been a wardrobe malfunction.
Listen to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your favorite shows.
Introducing Hashtag Matter, a brand new 8-episode scripted podcast.
911 emergency response.
Yeah, I need an ambulance.
We had Jason's 42 Sports Bar and Grill.
A little over 12 months ago, an 18-year-old African-American young man named Niles Hayes was driving a family friend's luxury vehicle when he was stopped for a routine traffic violation. Things escalate quickly.
No! Unit 510 Nora, we have a 999 shooting in progress. Officers down.
Within hours of the police stop, footage of the entire altercation gets posted online, and it goes viral.
I'm Colleen Sanders, and we're here live from the Los Angeles Valley.
Chase,
on
you see how they do us?
This case presented a lot of challenges.
You got the whole PD outside my building, ready to light the entire block.
Any number of outcomes could have happened and different choices were made.
I guess what I am struggling with...
You struggle with it because you live in a different reality than we do.
Listen to Hashtag Matter on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Stacey Wilson Hunt, your host for Inventing Anna, the official podcast. From Shonda Rhimes and the creators at Shondaland, Inventing Anna tells the story of a young woman who charmed her way into the pocketbooks of New York's elite.
Was she gonna take off with that $20 million from the banks, or was she gonna pour it into this foundation?
You know, people look at Anna and see what they want to see.
On this podcast, you'll get VIP access to the real people who inspired the television series and to the actors and creatives like showrunner Shonda Rhimes, who brought them to life.
We were working on the show while the trial was going on. I remember doing a dramatic reading of Todd's opening statement for the writer's room.
Who is the fake heiress, Anna Delvey? Join us as we unravel the stories behind the story.
Everything's true until it's not, basically, in Anna's world.
Listen to Inventing Anna, the official podcast, every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Wentworth, host of Go Ask Allie. It's real, it's honest, and sometimes amusing. Comedian Amy Schumer.
I would like to talk about our vaginas under any circumstances.
Well, I mean, and this is no joke. I feel like our vaginas have a lot to say. I think we should let them speak.
We'll stay out of it and they'll just talk.
Yes. Oh, I love him so much. Actor and activist Michael J. Fox. I told Mike once, I said, try my chocolate cake. It's going to make you jump on the table and take a shit. And he almost did.
I almost did. I had to hold myself back. Cooper did it for me.
Realness, honesty, openness. You can look forward to more of everything Go Ask Allie. I'll be answering your questions, so keep them coming.
Hi, Allie.
Allie, love the podcast.
Hi, Allie.
Wanted to ask a question and get some help.
Call or text me at 323-364-6356. Listen to Go Ask Allie every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think that a lot of this mom brain stuff, and you talk about this in your book too, which I love, I think a huge part of it in our society now is mom guilt is part of mom brain, and a lot of it is coming from social media. I can speak for myself personally. I think we feel a lot of judgment from ourselves, from comparing ourselves to others, moms who it seems like they've got it all going on, they're packing better lunches. Someone will post something of their kid and their kid's talking in sentences before my kid is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that you mentioned in your book that if there is a particular friend or celebrity social media account that's driving problematic comparison making for you, this incredible doctor who we have here just says unfollow.
That's it.
What am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah. I mean, I talk in the book about like, okay, consider the benefits and drawbacks of following a particular social media account. If the benefits are like awesome vegan recipes and the drawbacks are posts fill me with like soul crushing FOMO, stop following that person. Like the vegan recipes are not worth it.
And also just like Google a vegan recipe. You don't have to also follow the whole lifestyle of the vegan chef.
And I will say, Katie, that I, as a psychologist who works with moms, I'm so appreciative of celebrities like you who are open about motherhood, because that's what we need, mm-hmm. not just with people in the entertainment industry, but also these quote unquote momfluencers now. There's a lot of, oh my goodness, look at me and my children frolicking on this sunlit beach. You know, they're so well behaved. I'm so beautiful. I talk to patients all the time. I'm like, why?
Yeah, like if I didn't know, I would feel so much better about my parenting. I mean, I was going down a spiral on this podcast because I follow a lot of like very wonderful moms who are super. And mm-hmm. my son in COVID got 8,000 Paw Patrols, just plastic shit toys. They're not wooden blocks. They're not open-ended toys. These are toys with bells and whistles and buttons and lights, and they're crap. And my son loves them. And I was like, I'm failing. I'm a failure. Or like the mom who's like, well, I slipped and in COVID, I am now allowing my children to watch 15 minutes of television a day. I'm like, 15 minutes? Oh, holy shit. You should see on weekends. It's like, I'm like 8 to noon, buddy boy. What shows you getting? Like, why do I follow these people? They make me feel like shit about myself. And they're wonderful. It's not right. about them. They're great. It's that I have the issue where I'm comparing myself. And I'm having mom guilt about my parenting skills.
There's so much out there now from parenting experts on social media. And I feel like it exploded during COVID, particularly on Instagram, where there's so much content from a lot of really good people. But I think what does happen is, you know, especially if you're someone who's more prone to anxiety, you end up following everyone, like all the experts, and then it's just noise coming at you and dissenting opinions. Find the one or two good sources that you feel comfortable with, that don't make you anxious, that you feel like, you know, are good guides. Follow those things. Don't follow anything else. Like, it's too much. It's too much to digest.
Let's talk about judging people during these mom brain moments. You talk about there's a number of subtler in-person judgments that are thrown at moms each day. Can you describe the experience that you had the one time in the grocery store with Maddie and the woman who helped you find him?
Oh my God, this was terrible. So I was in the grocery store. I was very visibly pregnant with Sam, and Maddie would have been almost 3.
Sure.
So I have him sitting in the cart and I realized I forgot something, but of course my cart had a million things in it. Maddie's sitting in it. So I run 2 aisles down to grab whatever it was.
Sure.
And I come back and I guess per our mom brain discussion, I forgot what aisle Maddie was in. And I go into the aisle right next to him. He's not there. And I visibly panic. And this woman looks at me with the most withering stare and just points where Maddie's cart is. I was so upset. I got in the car and I went to the gas station and I called my sister and cried. And I was like, I am a terrible mother. Mm-hmm. It was awful. This is when I just started doing a lot of this work. And it was awful. It was awful. And you could see the judgment in her face. Yes, there's some overt judging, but a lot of the judging is more subtle,
sure.
like by a look, right? Or like, you know, I talk about the passive aggressive, like the person who's like,
yes.
oh,
yes.
you do that with your kid. That's interesting.
Oh, I hate it.
You know about that, right?
For sure.
We've all gotten that. And then on social media where people are more overt because, of course, they're hiding behind their
avatar. Yeah.
Yeah. I will remember I think till the day I die, what that woman's stare was, and how mortified I was, and how I was filled with guilt and shame, which was so unfair. Like, again, I mean, one of the nice things about writing this book now is that in hindsight, you can have a sense of humor about yourself, and you can see things that you couldn't see at the time. And like, I was writing that anecdote, I felt so bad for myself. I wish I could show myself the compassion then
now,
that I can show.
Yeah, now. That you know now. I know. Yeah. It really is true. We really are hard on ourselves. I don't know why we have these ridiculous expectations on ourselves on something that's really hard and that we've never done before. You know, yeah. Like I've never been a mom before. I've been a mom for 4 years and my child changes all the time. Here's what I thought was something else that was really helpful. Mom brain is a big thing on holidays and vacations. A schedule or some sort of routine, it all gets thrown out the window for vacations and holidays and any sort of special events. But what I love about this, and I think this is really helpful to reduce stress, is that moms should set the bar low.
Super low.
And I think that is genius. You even put out some examples of low bar goals, like just like get one good picture at the family wedding. That's huge.
Even just looking at the camera. Like we don't even need smiles. We just need everyone looking at the camera.
Yeah, that's what a miracle.
This all came honestly from my own experience where I had the most overblown expectations for Maddie, my older one's first holidays. And I, among the most stressful times for me as a parent early on occurred in the context of holidays when things did not work out the way I had dreamed and hoped, right? Sure. So this happened again and again. Like we had a blizzard in the Northeast, his first Halloween. Halloween was canceled. Like all kinds of stuff happened. But my personal favorite of once I learned to set the bar low is my nephew had his bar mitzvah when Sam was 3 and Maddie was 6. And Sam had just potty trained like literally a week before.
Oh, God.
Still having accidents. And the bar mitzvah party was on a boat that went around the Hudson, which was beautiful.
Beautiful,
but like on a boat. My kid was maybe going to pee everywhere, poop everywhere too. Like I didn't know. And I went into that, which was funny because my niece's bat mitzvah was 3 years prior. And I was much more stressed about that. And I think I wised up. And for my nephews, I was like, you know what? It's going to be fine. I just have to make sure that these kids get some food. I'm not going to worry about their behavior. There's a million people in their face, all of our relatives trying to hug them and kiss them. It's on a boat. They're not napping. Nothing was going according to normal schedule. I was like, you know what? I want to keep these kids fed and alive.
My low bar when I fly is I just say, like you said, it's just survive. I think it's because I don't feel the stress of like, oh my God, it's their nap time coming up and are they going to skip it? Are they not? Are they going to get cranky? I'm like, well, they'll fall asleep if they need it, I guess. I'm just going to let it all go.
Hey, I'm Gabrielle Collins, period drama nerd, and your behind the scenes guide to Bridgerton. On Bridgerton, the official podcast, we're learning how this fantasy world dipped in history came to life.
Daphne, her costume design really is about the elegance of simplicity. It's just color and shape.
We went old school and we got two scenic artists in who painted the backings for us by hand.
These dukes are all like in their late 20s, early 30s. Almost all of them are unmarried, really good looking, and none of them have syphilis.
Can you imagine when he looks into your eyes and then he dips you?
We just heard this sort of ripping sound. Yep, I think there's just been a wardrobe malfunction.
Listen to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your favorite shows.
Hello, I'm Stacey Wilson Hunt, your host for Inventing Anna, the official podcast. From Shonda Rhimes and the creators at Shondaland, Inventing Anna tells the story of a young woman who charmed her way into the pocketbooks of New York's elite.
Was she gonna take off with that $20 million from the banks, or was she gonna pour it into this foundation?
You know, people look at Anna and see what they want to see.
On this podcast, you'll get VIP access to the real people who inspired the television series and to the actors and creatives like showrunner Shonda Rhimes who brought them to life.
We were working on the show while the trial was going on. I remember doing a dramatic reading of Todd's opening statement for the writer's room.
Who is the fake heiress, Anna Delvey? Join us as we unravel the stories behind the story.
Everything's true until it's not, basically, in Anna's world.
Listen to Inventing Anna, the official podcast, every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Wentworth, host of Go Ask Allie. It's real, it's honest, and sometimes amusing. Comedian Amy Schumer.
I would like to talk about our vaginas under any circumstances.
Well, I mean, and this is no joke. I think like our vaginas have a lot to say. I think we should let them speak.
We'll stay out of it and they'll just talk.
Yes. Oh, I love him so much. Actor and activist Michael J. Fox. I told Mike once, I said, try my chocolate cake. It's going to make you jump on the table and take a shit. And he almost did.
I almost did. I had to hold myself back. Cooper did it for me.
Realness, honesty, openness. You can look forward to more of everything Go Ask Allie. I'll be answering your questions, so keep them coming.
Hi, Allie.
Allie, love the podcast.
Hi, Allie.
Wanted to ask a question and get some help.
Call or text me at 323-364-6356. Listen to Go Ask Allie every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Hashtag Matter, a brand new 8-episode scripted podcast.
911 emergency response.
Yeah, I need an ambulance.
We had Jason's 42 Sports Bar and Grill.
A little over 12 months ago, an 18-year-old African-American young man named Niles Hayes was driving a family friend's luxury vehicle when he was stopped for a routine traffic violation. Things escalate quickly.
No! Unit 510 Nora, we have a 999 shooting in progress. Officers down.
Within hours of the police stop, footage of the entire altercation gets posted online, and it goes viral.
I'm Colleen Sanders, and we're here live from the Los Angeles Valley.
Chase,
you
see how they do us?
This case presented a lot of challenges.
You got the whole PD outside my building, ready to light the entire block.
Any number of outcomes could have happened and different choices were made.
I guess what I am struggling with...
You struggle with it because you live in a different reality than we do.
Listen to Hashtag Matter on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You describe a couple of ways to reduce the comparison of our kids to others, which is what we're talking about as far as social media, the judgy mom in the grocery store for you that we so lovingly wish the best in hindsight. One, you say you consider how much we really know about the family, and two, creating funny backstories. So I thought this would be kind of fun. If we do a quick activity where you can walk me through developing our own funny backstory.
Sure. By way of introduction for this, a lot of times when we don't really know much about a person we're comparing ourselves to, it's not fair. The example that I use in the book is like...
Einstein mom,
yes, right? Who has a kid who seems brilliant and super well-behaved while your kid is like eating paste and running around like a tornado, right?
Yes.
But you likely don't have any information about this woman. Like you probably don't even know her name or whatever. So it can help you to create like a funny backstory in your head. So in the book, it was like calling her Einstein mom, right? And then like the joke was, think about how she gets home and she tells her kid, every time you read a sentence, I'm going to give you a grape. And this is how I'm going to feed you. Like you can't have food. So basically making up a funny story.
Sure.
So yes, Katie, I'm on board. Give me an example.
I'm thinking about this mom that I don't really know. Like I just like can't deal with like how good she is at being a mom. She makes dinner every single night and Instagrams the meals and they're superb.
Oh, okay.
They're superb.
Okay, so here's my question, Katie. Have you witnessed this family for like a long period of time?
No.
Yes.
Okay, no idea.
Maybe the story of this mom is like you see her like outside and she's waving and her kids or whatever, and like she walks in the house and the house is a disaster.
Bob went off.
And the kids are right, totally. And like it's like the Hunger Games in the house. And they're all like fighting to eat that beautiful Instagram meal. And they're running around the house with like bows and arrows.
Please God, let that be true. It has to be sometimes, right?
You know what? It has to be. The truth is there is no way that this woman has it all together like that. There is no way. So that's my one like funny scenario is like, think about the Hunger Games at her house.
Yes.
You know, whoever the last kid like murdered.
Yes.
Gets to eat the beautiful Instagram dinner, right? Then you can also think about, okay, well, maybe like the door opens and you realize like they're all robots. Like they're all robot children. Like they're not real.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Oh, that's so good. That's so helpful. Or your other advice, I should just unfollow.
Yes.
I hate cooking.
Yep.
I don't like it. And that's not where I excel in motherhood, but I excel in other ways. I'm a performer and you bet your ass there's a dance party like no one's business.
There's gotta be singing.
Daily in my house. It's cuckoo bananas.
Play to your strengths. So many moms are focused on what they can't do and not on what they can do. Pinterest, like the crafty stuff, I'm a disaster. I can't cook also, by the way. I'm a terrible cook and I'm horrendous on Pinterest.
Same.
It took me a while to be like, no, but there's other stuff I'm good at. I'm not a professional like you, but I'm a musical theater nerd. So I sing to my kids all the time.
Aww,
that's a thing
so
that I
lovely.
Like.
Lovely. You also are a doctor and when shit hits the fan, when they're teenagers and they're having like real mental, emotional struggles, know that you will be very good at talking to them when they need help.
Well, physician, heal thyself, Katie. I mean, like it's much harder to use these strategies.
True.
On your thing, right? It's a, yes. But playing to your strengths, right? And being like, why am I focusing on the stuff I'm just not good at?
Right.
Not every mom has to be a Pinterest mom or a mom who makes dinner. You focus on what you're good at and you build on that.
I like this part of the book too. Not only can we not control ourselves, but we cannot control our children. We cannot guarantee that said behavior that will be on display, especially if our kid happens to be tired or cranky or sick. How can we tell the difference if we're in a situation where we just can't always control our kids versus this action that our child just did can be managed? This is huge for me because my child, I am seethingly jealous of children who do what their parents ask them to do.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think you can't control the environment sometimes, right? If you're like in the middle of like a really busy space and your kid is totally overstimulated, you have limited to no control over that environment. Your kid is also your kid and they have the temperament they have, right? Like I know you had Dan Siegel on, right? He talked about that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you really have to think about, all right, I have a set of ideas in my head for like the way that I want to, you know, encourage my kid to listen, but I can't beat myself up if they don't. You know, to go back to the parenting expert thing for a sec, I think one of the things that's so difficult about all these experts coming out is that the message a lot of moms receive is like parenting is perfectible. And if I just follow what this particular expert says, my kid is going to do all that I want them to do. But it doesn't work that way.
It's so much more complicated than that.
Oh, it's so much more. And you know, it's from kid to kid, it varies so much. So like you may have a plan down that works for your first kid and then you have a second kid and like your plan did not work. You got to forgive yourself, particularly again, in those situations where like you can identify, you have no control. Going back to holidays for a second, good luck. If you're a parent trying to get your kid to like eat sensibly on Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Good luck. Set those low expectations, mommies.
Oh my God. My kid eats only pie on Thanksgiving. Sam, like full out, that's it. Who cares?
I think also you know your kid and you know if, oh, he didn't nap today. Oh, he really hasn't had a well-balanced meal in a bunch of hours. Like this is other stuff going on. You know what I mean? Like that there's that also. This is also something that I found so helpful in your book. And I saw you talk about, I think I saw it on your Instagram page. But the 2-week rule, genius.
Yeah.
For someone that struggles with anxiety, this is genius. If your kid is doing something that you don't love or is causing you to have anxiety, instead of just like rushing to like DEFCON 4, in 2 weeks, it's like I've never been more understanding that everything is a phase.
Everything is a phase. And I talk to moms about this constantly because, I mean, I cannot tell you the number of times that a mom has come in and panicked about her kids. Eating is a huge one for when they're little. Sleep regressions. Oh, my goodness.
God.
Oh, my kid's going to be a sleep regression. Like, developmentally, oh, I went to the park and I saw this other kid on the swing and my kid kept falling off. I mean, you name it. Moms come in panicked. And I'm like, you know what? Do me a favor. Just wait 2 weeks before you panic, before you go to Dr. Google.
The specialist, the therapist, talk to all your friends about it. Freak out. Stay up all night. Albie went through such a hitting phase. He was the kid on the playground hitting the shit out of babies. I've never been so upset in my life Googling why kids hit, da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's done. It's over. I'm already on to the next. That was years ago. I'm on to the next shit show.
Exactly.
Adam, we were going through something difficult with Albie. I don't even remember what it was. And my husband looked at me and he was like, Katie, remember when he used to hit everyone? I was like, oh, yeah. He was like, he doesn't do that anymore. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
He's going to grow out of it.
No, totally. And what I'll hear back from moms who have more sort of anxiety issues is they'll say, well, but what if it's actually a real problem? And I'm like, you got to trust yourself. Like, and I'll always reference, because mm-hmm. every mom has that story. There is an emergency. You know your kid is in need.
Yes.
And
yes.
you spring into action faster than, you know, like a superhero would. So I'll always reference that story and I'll say, like, remember when your kid got into, I don't know, Maddie ran into a toy chest and split his head open. I'm like, you know, everyone has that story. And I'm
yes,
like, did you have any doubt that your kid was in need? Did you even have to think about
whether... No, you know when it's different.
Right. You know when it's an emergency. You know when it's a problem. If you're thinking, oh, well, is this normal? Is it not? Give it 2 weeks. If you have to hem and haw, that means it's not an emergency. And you can give it 2 weeks and see.
This is so funny. I'm sorry that on this podcast, I'm making my son seem like a little poop, because he's not. He's also miraculous and wondrous and kind and sweet and loving. I just want to say that. But in these phases that we're talking about, it makes me laugh so hard. My husband will come out of Albie's room sometimes and he'll be like, the devil has left our son. Before we just wrap up the wonderfulness that is this book, Mom Brain. This is insane to me, and I need so much help. How the hell am I supposed to get out of Mom Brain to make time for date nights? What would be an effective way for both parents to have enough energy?
Yeah. Well, this is a managing expectations thing too, first of all.
Let's
right?
keep them low, mommies. Let's keep them low.
Right. And that's the thing, like, the biggest message that I send to moms about just like sex after baby in general, just communicate about it.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, because I think what happens so often is sometimes both partners, often it's one partner who's so burned out. And I say often it's one, because it can be the mom postpartum, right? Because there's a lot of stuff going on with your body. Like, you're not necessarily feeling super sexy. People will not be into sex after baby, and it could go on. And I think the thing that's a problem for a lot of people is they won't talk to their partner about it. If you don't want to hit, you know, touch your partner with a 10-foot pole, you can tell them that, you know, but also explain why. Hey, I've had kids draped all over me all day. The last thing I want is more hands on me. Another part of it too is you can have intimacy without full on having sex.
Absolutely.
You can just be like, you know what? After we put the kids in, do you want to just sit down next to each other on the couch and like watch a show?
Oh, that's like huge for us. I'm like, that's
amazing.
Yeah, and
that's intimacy. A lot of people seem to feel like it's sex or nothing. First of all, you have to figure out what feels comfortable to you as a couple, which varies at different stages in your life as a couple, depending on a lot of things. A lot of things count as intimacy and can feel really close and intimate if you're not, you know, really into having sex right now. I talked to mom several times about this, where they'll say, you know, I'd be into sex, but the issue is at night, I'm so tired, I don't want to do it. And I'll say, okay, well, like, if you're kind of interested in bringing sex back, is there something, and your partner's into it, like, is there something they can do to help you on some night, right?
Of course.
Maybe you say, hey, you want sex? I want sex. I am too tired after tuck-ins. You want to handle tuck-ins one night.
You take care of bedtime while I take a shower or change my clothes and not be a smelly piece of shit.
Yep. Brush my teeth.
Any of it.
But I'll say, Katie, even more than that is like, it's just about communicating. Even if what you're communicating is, I don't want this.
You want to be able to just say, I am so sorry if it's been a minute. I'm always like, I'm breastfeeding and I'm really dry, man. Like, I need help.
Yeah.
It's just part of the hormonal thing of my body. All the liquids are going to breast milk. Good luck.
Yeah, and you've had your breasts out all day.
Oh,
you're
God.
Like so excited to put them back in.
Like, you know, it's so hard for everyone listening to get a babysitter, to have outside people come in your house if they're not in your pod. It's expensive if that's not in your budget. I mean, it's really a whole thing. We do Friday night Shabbat now, which, my God, we've been together 17 years. We've never done this. And we are like holding on to it because we just do. We light candles. We have a dinner and we watch a family movie with our son. We tuck him in and then me and Adam hang out.
I love that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yep.
As we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to say about your incredible book, Mom Brain?
My hope is that moms are just kinder to each other. I mean, particularly during COVID. Listen, I could go on and on, as could you, Katie, about how relentless this has been for parents. And so I think it's even more important that you are kind to yourself, that you are mindful of your negative emotions, that you are taking care of yourself. I cannot speak to that enough.
Finish this sentence. Parenthood is...
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Parenthood is constantly surprising.
Ooh, we haven't had that one. And I like it. Everyone run out, get this book, Mom Brain. It is so helpful. And really, in my mission for this podcast, it does the most important thing, which is makes me feel less alone. And I'm so appreciative of your time and all the moms that you're helping in Summit, New Jersey. You lucky moms.
Thank you, Katie.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Questions, comments, concerns? Let me know. You can always find me at katiescrib@shondaland.com. Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Who is the fake heiress, Anna Delvey? And what does the story of this Instagram legend say about us? On Inventing Anna, the official podcast, you'll get exclusive access to the people who inspired the TV series and to the actors like Anna Chlumsky who brought them to life.
This is backstory stuff for myself, but like she was driven by the idea that, well, if I just crack the code, they'll let me in.
Listen to all of Inventing Anna, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
While we all desperately ached for escapism, Bridgerton, the Shondaland smash on Netflix, came streaming along. Now we wait for season two. But in the meantime, you can hear how this show came to life with the cast, the production team, and the creators of Bridgerton. Listen to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your favorite shows.
Hey, I'm Jess Wiener, host of Dominant Stories, the podcast that helps us reclaim and rewrite the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves.
Our feelings are like a compass. They tell us what direction to go in. And if we don't pay attention to them, it's like walking around with a faulty GPS. You have no idea where you're going.
Our guests include composer Alex Lockamore of Hamilton, the incredible musician Sarah Bareilles, actor Rachel Bloom from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and the celebrated poet Azur Antoinette.
I didn't like my body in the first place. When I got the diagnosis, it just pissed me off even more. And I was like, you've always let me down.
Hear from your favorite celebrities, storytellers, and experts about what's shaping them. Listen to Dominant Stories with me, Jess Wiener, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Allie Wentworth, host of Go Ask Allie. My listeners want more, so we are digging in. Comedian Amy Schumer.
As far as cancel culture goes, I think that the people who are the most afraid and complaining about cancel culture are the ones who are in danger of being canceled, and they need to take a look at themselves.
I agree with you.
You know, I'm not worried about it because I know my intentions and I know that I'm like open to evolving.
Listen to Go Ask Allie every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.